Magic Podcast. Hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry. Where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And me, Lloyd Barnes.
If Lloyd has a bit of a Tom Jones sultry, sexy vibe going on, it's because his kids are asleep in the next room, and so he's being very quiet, and for the first time ever in the history of the podcast, his mouth is right next to the podcast mic, almost like he's sucking it off. So you've got that kind of sultry Welsh tone going on.
Right, for those of you that seen the carrot prediction at Blackpool, then I'm doing an impression of Craig. Just like that. Yeah, everyone just can't like see that. But there was balls and everything.
Anyway, welcome back to another podcast. We're filming this on Wednesday. It's going up tonight at 9 o'clock, and we're literally filming it at 4:40. And the reason is I have just got back from London after Ryland being in the semi-finals last night.
Oh, so nothing much has been happening then, just another normal, ordinary day in the life of Craig and Ryland.
Just another ordinary day, yeah. No, wow. It's been a manic week. It's been an incredibly manic week. We got down there last Wednesday. Obviously, we couldn't let on that he was in the semi-finals, but we got down there last Wednesday and basically spent the entire time down there rehearsing. Ready for, you know, what you saw last night. And I think the first thing I want to say is to everybody, I haven't had much time to process this because yesterday was manic, like absolutely manic. And I didn't get to bed until about 3 o'clock in the morning. And then we've been traveling back from London today. And I literally just walked in through my front door. So, you know, I've had hundreds of messages, thousands of comments on Facebook and things like that. And, you know, to everyone that had really nice things to say about Ryland, thank you so much. He worked really hard, really hard. He wanted that act to be the best it could be. And even though he's only nine, and I know it's ridiculous saying this, even though he's only nine, he loves magic. Like anybody who's spent any time about him will know that. He loves magic and he really respects it. And he wanted to make sure that, you know, going out and doing it in front of a live audience, he did something that everybody could be proud of. So the amount of effort that he put into that act was, you know, he's just literally put his life on hold, and all he's been doing is rehearsing this over and over again a million times.
You can just tell, though. I mean, like, the thing is, what's great about Ryland's that he's like, you know, some people go on there, they don't put any practice in, or people want to get big and famous. Like he did his performance twice at Blackpool, you know, that's him practicing on stage in front of the toughest critics, which are magicians. He's gigging, he's going out doing little shows and practicing and putting the hours in. Not many magicians do that in general, and not many do that at age fucking nine. And you just cannot be more proud of him. No one could have asked for any more.
No,
what he did, and he got to the live fucking semi-finals. He performed live on national television performing magic.
Between you and me, he was a bit up. He's not a cry kid. He doesn't cry. He doesn't really get upset that much. He just kind of goes with the flow. And when he got sent off, you know, when they said, "Ryland, you're going home," I was kind of in the audience watching that bit, and then I went around the side because I knew where he was going to come out. And he was welling up, and I could tell he was really, really
upset. Yeah.
And we'd had conversations beforehand about, you know, like, hey, it's a journey, it's an experience you've got here. And, you know, he was a little bit upset, but he was only upset because he wanted to do the final, because we'd had the act put together for the final just in case. You know, I'd spoken to you about it. So we had this thing put together for the final, and he really wanted people to see what he'd put together for the final. And obviously that didn't happen, and we didn't get to do that. But you know,
I have an idea.
What's that?
Why doesn't he do it at Blackpool next year? What he would have done. What he would have done for the final. Why not?
Well,
no, why fucking not, man?
Why not, right?
That would be incredible. But you know, I think also, like you said, he's not really like a cryy kid, but it's the way it's all orchestrated and choreographed. Like if he had, say, he just found out in the middle of the week after doing it, like, hey, by the way, Ryland, thanks for taking part, but you didn't get through to the lives, you would have probably been less upset. But the way you put you on a stage, people watching you, the suspense, the countdown, people's names, and then it's all that, like, and then suddenly you find out, boom, the lights are off and you're out. For a 9-year-old, that's pretty like traumatic. You know what I mean?
He allowed himself to, right, all the way through, he's level-headed, Ryland, and all the way through he was saying to me, I'm not going to expect to go through to the final.
Yeah.
Because then if I do, it's going to be a nice surprise. You know, it's going to be awesome, but I'm not going to expect it. I'm just going to go ahead and do the best that I can. But he allowed himself, after his performance on the night, he kind of basically allowed himself to think, I think I've gotten a shot. I think I'm going to be able to do this. I think I can do this. And he kind of got that into his head. So it all came crashing down. But to be honest, it's a good experience to learn. You know, in performing, if you want to be a professional performer, especially a magician, there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. There's going to be some massive highs and there's going to be some catastrophic lows. And it's
the other thing is, he's human.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Of course he's going to be upset. He was looking at the finish line. He got further than, you know, 99.9% of all of the contestants. He got to the live semifinals out of thousands of people. He was right there. So he's going to be upset. He's just human, but yeah. Do you know, I learned from years ago, twice it happened. I've never wanted to be a TV magician ever. Like, I don't do gigs or nothing. But I got contacted to do a TV show for Sky One. And I was like, nah. And they kept badgering. And eventually I gave in and said yes. And I was, because they had annoyed me with it, I got hyped about it. And I was excited. And I started telling all my friends and family about it. And then it's just got, you know, what happens with TV shows, they get dropped left, right, and center. And they got dropped. And at that point, I'd already told so many people about it that I was like crushed inside, even though I didn't even fucking want to do it. And it taught me an amazing life lesson, which I've applied to everything, like with buying different houses I've bought and stuff, is that I don't celebrate anymore until I get, like, I always say, get the keys in your hand.
Yeah.
And it's like a good thing for Ryland, you know, like he's been through that at such an early age. It's an amazing thing to learn so young on, because he's going to have such a realistic, a pragmatic approach to everything else he does.
And I said to him, what that performance did for him is it put him on the map. Like, a lot of people now know who he is and a lot of people know what he's capable of. And, you know, it's going to open doors. It's going to open doors for him. He's set. He wants to be a professional magician. That's what he wants to do. That's his goal. And you know, he's working towards that. And I said to him, doing the performance that you did in the auditions and doing the performance that you did in that live semi-final, you know, I said, it's a really hard concept for a 9-year-old to understand. Trust me, sometimes when you lose, you win.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said to you on the phone earlier, like, some of the biggest names, including Susan fucking Boyle, didn't win BGT. They didn't win it. But for me, the big thing, you know, is that when you think of a 9-year-old kid and you think, should I book a 9-year-old magician or should I book his professional magician father? You don't really give him much credence. But now he's stamped his name as an authority of, I'm a professional magician. Regardless of my age, I can do magic. And even that alone, regardless, and all the other things he's got, but that alone will do wonders for the rest of his career, for the rest of his life.
Well, I'm speaking to the Young Magic Circle. And they said that they've had, since this audition, several kids apply to join the YMC. And the reason they put on the phone is because they saw Ryland on BGT. And he got mobbed yesterday coming out of the, after the thing, that he got mobbed. And there were so many kids, adults and kids, but so many kids wanting their photo with him. And this morning when we were leaving the hotel, he was just walking with me. And this family walked past, and this like probably 8-year-old just looked over to me and went, you're Ryland.
Wow.
And went, dad, I need a selfie. And then said, dad, don't forget, I want a magic set. I want to be like Ryland. Buy me a magic set. And
whoa.
You know?
Priceless.
Yeah. You know, that for me, you know, the future of magic, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And I love that he got to do it with the YMCA. I got to hang out with those kids and get to, you know, they're amazing. They're amazing. That's the kids that he was doing. And it's mental when you actually break down the act that he did. Doing dress code with 25 kids.
Yeah. Who does that? That's one of those ideas you have, like when you're having a laugh, jamming, like, wouldn't it be funny to do dress code with an entire entire choir-sized amount of children? And then you fucking did it.
Yeah, it's just mad. It's
well, now that he hasn't won and I can't take any of the winnings, I might just flog the t-shirts I designed for you.
Oh, yeah.
So come and get your Ryland Rubik's Cube t-shirts, 50 well, quid go, signed.
Yeah, and thank you so much. Yeah, I didn't tell anyone, but you designed the cube. Oh, I mean, God. They looked amazing. No, they
basically
amazing.
I basically colored them in, right?
Hey, they look amazing. They look so good. They look so good. And I, you know, the other person I have to give a shout out to is, and I'm going to do a video on my channel about it. I've got a chance to work with Russ Stevens.
Mm.
This guy, his head just, I don't know how he does what he does. Because obviously he's got a large part to do with all of the cats in BGT. And he's got, you know, and he puts a lot of the stuff together. And just seeing how, like, the versatility of the man's brain. And what I mean by that is, you know, he'll be working on something like The Phantom. Then he'll be working on something like The Witch. Then he'll be working on something else. And then he'll be working with Ryland. And it's complete, such an eclectic range of styles of magic. And he just has this natural ability to just look at a situation and just go, I know exactly what needs to be done from a musicality point of view, from a staging point of view, from a creative point of view, from a magic point of view. Genuinely inspirational. Like, really,
yeah.
Really, really.
Some people just have it, though. You know, I remember years ago, I think I talked about this on the podcast before, but when I went to college to do multimedia, after the first few days, the tutor said, now I'm going to say something to all of you. Most of you are going to really struggle on this course, no matter how hard you try. And some of you are just going to be able to do it easily, no matter how little you try. It's because some of you have the eye and some of you won't. It's a design thing. You can't teach it. And it's like, that's what Russ has got for magic on stage. You know, he just, you can't teach it. You can't really learn it. He's just got it. And he can just see things miles in advance.
And how he deals with the amount of stress he deals with, I don't know. Because being at a live BGT versus watching it on TV is polar opposites. They rehearse to the nth degree. They do a full rehearsal of the show, including ad breaks, to make sure everything's working as it's meant to be. But even with that in mind, like, there's so much stuff that's like, the people are running around all over the place, and it's just chaos, organized chaos, but it's just chaos. And there's so many last minute problems that are occurring. And how Russ doesn't drop dead of a heart attack every night, I have absolutely no idea. Like, the final illusion that Ryland was doing with disappearing, like, literally while the ads were on before his act and during the VT, the prop basically broke. And Russ Stevens and Russ Brown were in the prop as the VT was playing, trying to fix it. And there was a very real possibility that we were just going to have to maybe even pull the act, because it was like, well,
fuck.
So, you know, I mean, they got it working. Somehow between them, they got it working. And I was just there, just going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. How they cope with this, I don't know. It's incredible.
Well, you know, when you love what you do, it doesn't feel half as stressful. You know, I guess that's because he's just so passionate about it.
Well, now I know how he manages to do Blackpool. Because, yeah.
Hang on a minute. You are saying that there's someone out there that works harder and is more stressed. There's no one that can do that. You say someone's working harder and is more stressed than you, then they must be at boiling point.
No, Russ, I'm telling you right now, Russ Stevens and Russ Brown take on more stress in that 1 week with BGT than I do in my entire life.
Like, right, come on then. Tell us some of the cool stuff that people don't get to know normally. What did you see behind the scenes? Tell us some interesting facts. What were people like?
I'm trying to say, everybody's really nice. Everybody is really, really nice. Like, you know, you hear negative press about BGT. I didn't experience any of that at all, in any way, shape, or form. Right from the initial first time that Ryland spoke to Britain's Got Talent, right through until last night, everybody was amazing. Like, wow. Absolutely amazing the entire way through. And I think it's important that I point that out because it does get bad press sometimes. And I do see, you know, the magic community sometimes going on about BGT and about this and that. They're, every single person in that organization is pulling in the right direction. They want, like, you saw the set design for Ryland. Mm. Like with a castle and like flags with his logo on, yeah. You know, they made him a logo, and it was even bigger than that because there was like archways and everything, which, you know, we were like, we can't have the archways, they're getting in the way of the illusion. But like the amount of time and effort they spend to make the acts look really, really good, they want everybody to succeed. I see on the thing sometimes, oh, they've been set up to fail. They don't do that. They want every single act to do the best they can do. They want to put on a good show. That's what they want to do. And it was very apparent from being backstage and seeing all that, that and there's this one particular guy that was really looking after Ryland. I mean, this is a podcast for magicians, obviously. So any magicians listening to this will know that at some point with the final illusion, Ryland had to do a run around the theater in order to, you know, he didn't really teleport. Obviously, this is a thing for magicians. One of the producers, one of the top guys there was like, well, you know, I'm not going to let Ryland run on his own. So he was like running with Ryland, and Ryland was telling the story about how people were getting in his way, and he was literally pushing them out the way and was like, run, run, run. Like everybody just looked after him so much. Like so everybody cool. Was just so cool. Everybody was so nice. So for any stories you hear about negativity on Britain's Got Talent, I didn't experience any.
I want to know things like, what's the catering like?
It was good. It was good. So we've got... you have like little just to the side of the Apollo, there's this whole trailers set up, for want of a better word. It's like a trailer and everyone's got their own trailer. The Magic Circle kids had two trailers. Ryland had a trailer to himself, which was hilarious.
Wow, that's rockstar.
Although he kept going into the Magic Circle trailer just to do card tricks with each other, but he did have his own trailer where he was rehearsing and stuff. Everyone had their own trailer. Everybody had their own trailer. This is this person's trailer, this person's trailer.
Did you meet any of the judges or Ant and Dec?
Ryland. I mean, I was just there chaperoning Ryland and helping with the illusion. But in terms of Ryland got a chance to meet everybody. Like Ryland was had about a 5-minute chat with Ant and Dec, and they were giving him fist bumps and everything. And
oh wow.
He everybody treated him so nicely. But the catering, everyone had their own trailer, and they have a menu, a lunch menu and a dinner menu, and you can have whatever you want to, and then they'll bring it around to you. Wow. Unlimited. It was they really look after you. Like they really, really look after you.
So now that Ryland's journey's come to an end, who?
No, I'm not entering BGT.
Do you know, it would be great. I was saying this to Kaylee yesterday. It would be great if he came back at age 18. You know, like I auditioned 9 years ago when I was 9 years old. I'm back 9 years later to show you something, you know, to show you how far I've come. Something along those lines.
He turned around to me today in the journey on the way back, and he's like, you know, if you get through to the semi-final of Britain's Got Talent, Dad. I was like, yeah. He said, do you think you're allowed to audition for America's Got Talent? I was like, oh, good God.
Oh, fuck. You totally are. You totally do.
Yeah. And then I said, yeah, I think so. He's like, right, okay. I've got an idea.
Fuck off.
My thing with Ryland is you know, my dad, and this comes from my relationship with my mom and dad, and I don't want to get too deep and heavy about this, but my dad always used to hate the fact that I was a magician.
Mm.
And he always used to turn around to me and say, when are you going to get a proper job? When are you going to get a proper job? No matter how successful I became, it was always, when are you going to get a proper job? And I remember shortly after meeting Sarah, I've got a half brother, which I don't really see him very often. Hardly at all. Last time I saw him was at my dad's funeral. My mom's funeral. My dad's funeral. And so what was I saying? Yeah, so, and I remember taking Sarah at Christmas to my mom and dad's house, and my brother was there. And my dad had convinced my half brother to take me to one side, and he spent an hour. And my brother is a nuclear physicist. He's got like more qualifications than you can possibly imagine. And he spent an hour trying to talk me out of being a professional magician and saying that I was wasting my life. And then tried to convince Sarah to tell me that I should stop being a professional magician.
Whoa, fuck right? off.
That's basically what I had my entire life with my parents. They hated the fact that I did magic. And no matter how successful I became, I could have been doing something better with myself, and I was wasting my time. So because of that experience, my attitude with Ryland is, dude, you can do anything that you want to do. If you mm-hmm. want to be a magician, that's fine. If you want to be a professional footballer, that's fine. If you want to be whatever you want to be, you can be. And, you know, he wants to be a magician. That's what he wants to do. And will that change when he meets girls? Maybe. I don't know. But he loves magic.
He's going to be a magician. He's not going to meet any girls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're going to keep it. But he loves magic so much. And I just encourage him. Hey, you know, it was his idea to join, to go on BGT. He's wanted to do it ever since he saw Izzy Simpson at the age of four going on BGT. And I was like, yeah, you want to go on BGT? Let's audition. If he turns around to me and says, I want to do AGT, I'm going to be like, yeah, okay, man, let's make it happen. If, you know, if he wants to release a magic trick with a company, I'm going to sit down with him and help him come up with a trick. You know, whatever he wants to do, I'll make it happen.
It's amazing.
Or I'll try my absolute best and I'm going to support him all the way. But he knows that you have to work hard for it. And I don't think anybody could imagine how hard Ryland's worked on that act that you saw.
Yeah.
That 5 minute, you know, and you know, what I love is it started with sleight of hand. He proved that he's got skill. You know, he proved that he could do stuff.
That's what I love so much about the act, is that he did sleight of hand to open, to prove, to stamp his authority there. And, you know, if he ever has a down day on it, you just need to give him some perspective and think, like, Ryland, look at what you were like 2 years ago when you said, I just want to audition. And would you have been happy to get one standing ovation? One yes. Not booed off the stage would have been an achievement. To finish the routine would have been an achievement. And he got through to the lives over thousands of people and performed magic live, nailed his act and got four standing ovations. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. Mental. And you look at the YouTube views, you look at all the acts that were on last night. You look at all the acts that were on the BGT YouTube channel. Ryland's got three times more views than any of the other acts that were on last night, including the winners.
Fuck me.
Like, you look at, I've got it here, you know, The Escapologist.
Oh, shit, he actually fucking has.
53,000 views. You look at The Winner, 190,000 views. You look at Ranger Chris, 120,000 views, 140,000. Look at him, he's gotten 352,000 after less than a day. It's like
the Collie's 117, and I'll name the 97, 48, 141, 120, 190K, 68, 53, 104, 8,500 views. That's all the other acts. And Ryland's got 352,000 views.
He's got more views than any other act that's been on other than The Witches.
This is not me saying it. And you can, if anyone disputes it, I'm genuinely telling the truth. And this is such a horrible thing to say. But after watching the other acts he was in the thing last night with, I don't understand how he didn't make top three.
No, I don't get
it. That's bizarre to me. That's really fucking weird.
Yeah.
Although, this sounds crazy. This is conspiracy theory, tinfoil, put your hat on stuff. My missus cried last night because she texts everyone to vote for Ryland. And when she went to put her own vote in, it closed. She spent so much time texting everyone to vote, she didn't get a chance to vote. And she genuinely, genuinely cried like a little bitch. Maybe tinfoil hat theory that people were so big. Because I wrote a big long post and shared it. And then I realized that the vote was closing in like 3 minutes and I didn't vote either. And I got to I did it in time. But maybe people were just so trying to support, they fucking missed out.
Because the social media is blowing up over him. It's mm-hmm. I really, it would have been nice for him to go through, because we had something epic lineup for the final, something that would have been even bigger than the semi-final. But
you know, save it for Blackpool. Let's get him on that stage.
Yeah, it was not to be. It was not to be. And, you know, it's like I said to Ireland, sometimes when you lose, you win. And, you know, I've said to him, doors are going to open. Doors are going to open.
And I don't think he lost, to be honest.
No.
He didn't win the fucking show, but he won Nation over.
Yeah. And you know how critical the Magic community can be.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not a single person, as far as I can see, in the Magic community that's had anything negative to say about Ryan and Zach last night.
No. Well, how could you? He did sleight of hand. He did a stage illusion. He had stage presence. When his mic didn't work at the beginning, he took a beat and he handled it like a pro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only people that are going to complain about it are just egotistical wankers.
Yeah.
So I think he was amazing. I think he was absolutely incredible. And yeah, you could, you don't, you never, you can only win and learn. You can't win and lose.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But yeah, 9 years old. He's got the world at his fingertips. He's going to go on and fucking win AGT now, probably.
AGT, 2023. Watch this space. Ryan and Petty. Boom.
I'm just sad because I want him to win the money so I could fucking pimp him out and I could just like use him as a cash cow.
It was going to be my meal ticket. Looks like I'm going to have to put that on hold for a couple of years.
He was going to be my scraps ticket where like whatever you couldn't finish, I'd pick up the scraps. I'd be flogging those Rubik's Cube t-shirts. I'd be going, right, I know what's coming up in the final. You know, buy the secrets off me, Daily Mail. I'd be like, I've got some damning evidence of his father with a carrot joke. Send.
Exactly. Oh dear me. But yeah, it was a fun
apart from not getting through, was it an amazing time?
Oh, Ryland had a great time. He had a great time. He got to hang around with celebrities. He got to, you know, he got to perform magic. That's what he loves more than anything else. He got to perform magic on one of the biggest stages in the world. And it's like I said to him, there's many professional magicians that wouldn't even think about going on a stage like that in front of 4,500 people, in front of millions of people watching at home. Just the thought of it would make them crumble. They just wouldn't do it. They couldn't do it.
I couldn't. Simple as that.
I don't know if I could. You know,
but you'd be shit at it.
I'm old and broken now. I have to go with the sympathy boat.
I just had this, as soon as you said old and broken, I had this image of you tied up like Andrew Basso being dunked into that tank, but getting wedged by his stomach. Like Family Guy.
Yeah. I think that's what would happen, to be honest, mate. Yeah.
And it wouldn't be black water, it'd be brown water. Oh, no. So, okay, all in all, amazing experience, but do you have a winner, somebody you'd like to champion through to the rest of the final that we could all get behind that you think deserves it? You can say no as well.
I'm trying to think. I want a magic act to win. I want a magician to win. That's what I want. The magician that's on tonight is quite good. You know, the crazy Chinese guy that did the floating ring.
Yes, isn't it? I didn't catch his name, but I think it was something like Kenji, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. He was really good. It's not been officially announced, so I can't say other magic acts are on, but there's another couple of magic acts that I know are through that you will be seeing in the coming few days.
I have a question. You don't have to answer it, but did you learn of the identity of the witch?
Oh, I know who the identity of the witch is. Ryland was rehearsing at the same time as the witch without makeup, so I know exactly who the witch is.
I have a theory
that
it's not a magician.
Right?
That's my only theory, that it's not like a magician. I think it's an actor, a professional actor.
Is that what you think? That's an interesting theory.
I think the acting skills are so good. I just think that like most magicians are just really shit actors and they try to be good and they shit, but the witch is really, really good. And that's the most important job of a magician.
Yeah, man. The witch was exceptional. Absolutely exceptional. I'll tell you off air. I'm not allowed to mention anything.
Hey, text it to me now so I can know. I think everyone listens to this thinking that we're right cunts.
Hey,
did you do it? Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it's not butter. I was trying to think of a really funny magician's name to put there. Then I thought, I can't believe the witch is actually Tamariz. Not in fancy dress. What, Tamariz has learned English and suddenly hates card magic?
You need to re-watch the witch's thing, because you'll just see at one moment he goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, starts playing in a violin, an invisible violin. That was the giveaway. That was the moment right there.
All right, then. Let's get on to the other stuff. Should we be back to normal for the listeners?
Absolutely. What are we talking about?
BGT?
Let's talk more about BGT, shall we? Stuff that's... anything else happening in the magic community? Not that I know of.
Well, everyone's been talking about BGT, so that was sort of the main thing. Normally a product's discussion is what we have here.
Yeah, let's have a look at it. I'll tell you a trick that's just come out that I'm going to be reviewing soon, and I very much like the look of, is Refilled by Henry Harrius.
What's that? Oh, yeah, I did see that.
It's very good.
Is it the, like the rubber bottle, but just made to look very realistic?
Yeah, that, basically, he's calling it Refill. And first of all, it's typical Henry, so he's got permission from Norm Nielsen to create the gimmicks. But it's a completely reimagined take on the Vanishing Bottle. And I just love this premise. The whole idea is that you've got this bag, you have this empty bottle, and they can see the empty bottle. You put it inside the bag, you've got this bottle opener. You tap the bottle against the bottle opener so they can hear it. And you kind of just do this sort of thing. I mean, there's lots of different ways of presenting it. And then you just reach in and you take out. And now the bottle is filled full of beer, because you get it with a Corona bottle type thing.
Nice.
And then you crush the bag up, you throw it away. You tap it with the bottle opener again. You open it and you give it to a member of the audience to drink for the rest of the show. So it's like a really interesting take on Vanishing Bottle. Rather than making the bottle vanish, they're using it to, you know, is using it to
smart.
Which I really love that premise. I love the idea, because let's be honest, if you could really do magic, you wouldn't make a bottle disappear inside a bag. But if you could really do magic, you would absolutely refill a beer bottle.
And also, yeah, that's true, right? And also the other thing is, when the golden rule is, if you make something vanish, the audience are looking for it, you know? But if you make something change or appear, then the effect is completed.
Yeah.
In one way, do you know what I mean? So they're not going to look for it, which makes perfect sense with that presentation.
Yeah, 100%. So I really like that. I think that's really good. I mean, everybody knows that anything that Henry does is just on point. And
perfection.
And that's you know, that's another perfect example of something that Henry has brought out that's just incredible. So I love that.
Boombox. Have we talked about Boombox?
Did we talk about it last week, or did we not?
I can't fucking remember, man. It's been a whirlwind.
It's been a week. It's been a strange week for me with BGT. I don't know if we did. Maybe we did. Maybe we didn't. I mean, we can touch on it just in case. But
yeah, let's do it.
I mean, Boombox was one of the tricks that I was kind of hired by Penguin to go and consult on. So I've been working with this thing for like 6 months now, and basically, it's a switch box, but the difference between the, because there's been typically a bit of controversy, not controversy, but Illusionist bought out a switch box at the same time as Penguin bought out a switch box. And when you look at the trailers, they look very, very similar. There are differences, having now spoken to relevant various different people, there are differences. The big difference with the Boombox is it's made with some invisible elastic thread. So what that means is it's got a locking system. So it's basically like a Himba wallet inside a card box. So you can put a regular deck of cards in there. You can put the card in that you want to have switched, and you can go into it anytime you want to. When you take the cards out, you can literally show it. You can hold it upside down. It's locked in place. But just with one movement, you can unlock it. So you can steal cards from this box as well as switching them out. And there's a lot of other stuff to it. And this locking system makes it quite unique. And unlike, you know, people have said to me, what's the difference between that and magnetic switch boxes? Well, this, because it's not a magnet, although it locks in place, you can unlock it in seconds. Like literally in just like literally one small movement, pushing it to one side unlocks it. So there's a lot more.
That's cool.
Possibilities with it, and I've been working with it for a long time. There's 10 routines that I've put on there, including some killer ACAN, because it wouldn't be a Craig Petty release without an ACAN on there.
And that ACAN, I watched the performance of it. It's so good.
You
so
like it?
Fucking, yeah, really, really like it. You could just see how fucked they were in the head. Right, and the fairness at the end as well. Do you want this one to be the card? This one to be the number? This one to be the number? This one to be the card? What do you want to do?
Yeah, and they can shuffle everything.
All the heat off the box. Takes all, you know, because the final decision is made after the move happens, you know, after the air quote move happens.
And that's how when they gave me this box to come up with routines for it, I kind of approached it as, because they were, when I originally looked at it, they were like, oh, look at this visual switch. And they were flicking it and turning it over. Or they were bringing it down like this. And I was like, well, that's cool. But I don't think the emphasis should be on the visual switch.
No.
I think it should be a case of something goes in there one side, and the box is just a receptacle to keep those things in, right? And that's with the ACAN. Nobody suspects the box because the box has got nothing to do with it. It's just a place that you put the cards while you're doing something else.
Yeah.
My favorite routine on there is one called Doodle Duplication. And what it is, and it is this clean, you know, you've got your card box on the table because you've just done some card routines or whatever, and you take out a couple of business cards and you give, you show them the blank, and you give one of the business cards to somebody and you give them a pen, and it's a real working pen. It's not like a dried out pen or anything. It's a real working pen. And you get them to hold on to the card and do a draw. You say, draw a line and make it about 5 seconds. So they do this sort of thing. And you go, brilliant. Without looking at it, put it in the box and put it to one side.
Love it already.
And you go, okay, there's no way I could have known what you've done, right? There's absolutely no way. I'm going to take the other business card. You know, I'm going to try something here. And then you just do a doodle on your business card and you turn it round and you take the one out the card box and it's an exact match. And it's like a duplication of a doodle that they didn't even see.
Ooh, I fucking love that.
Yeah, it's really strong. Really strong.
You just give me an idea for an effect.
Why am I not surprised?
Do you know, I'll talk about it on here, right? I love that spirit, not spirit writing, but the whole hold a piece of paper face down, scribble on it, turn it over and see what you've scribbled.
Yes.
And yeah, like you said, people use dried out pens with pre-scribbled paper and kind of in the street. But you could do it with a friction pen, couldn't you? If you pre-drew the shape in like a black ink, normal thin Bic pen black ink, then had them scribble for a few seconds and then say, quickly turn it over and have a look and then scribble some more so they can see the pen working. And then put this to the side, I don't know, under a cup of hot coffee or something, so it gets rid of the rest of the friction ink.
Yeah.
Then there would just be no need to. Basically, it would just be an overprover that the ink worked and they were really drawing. But then I don't know. Maybe it's stupid. Either way, the idea of using boombox is exactly the way it should be used. I remember when I would come up with a lottery routine for Cypher, that my favorite way of doing it was to have a quiver wallet, in the pub, have somebody go and buy a lucky dip ticket, bring it back, and then I'd be with them. Put it in the quiver, folded up into quarters, and then put it on the table just in case beer got onto it, air quotes, and that's why it was in a leather pouch. And then do the whole routine and eventually at the end come back to the lottery ticket and reveal the matching numbers. And that way it gets rid of the heat on the switching device, in this case, the boom box, and then going off and coming back to it. I think it's the best way of using it because there's no heat. Yeah.
Exactly.
Basically, it shouldn't be the arrival point of the routine. It should be the vehicle that gets to the end.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with app magic. People get that wrong as well. But yeah, I seen the trailer and I think the routines on there alone were worth it for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was really proud of, because, you know, when they came to me, I was like, well, let me see what I can come up with. And then just my mind was racing with it. I was like, there's so much you can do with this. And we limited it to 10 routines, but I've got like about another 20 or 30 with this thing. Like, there's so much you can do with it.
And you should teach them on the net tricks.
That's a really good idea, actually. And the other thing that, you look at the Parsons one, the Illusionist one, and the trailer, I haven't got one, so I don't know, but the trailer emphasizes the visual switch, like you see inside the card box as the thing switches.
Yeah.
I just think that's the absolute wrong approach to take with it.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, the heat is on the card box because mm-hmm. they've seen it change inside a card box. Well, I now want to look at that card box and I can't. So,
there's certain ways to sell every product. And we talk about this so often in every trial. I was talking about earlier with Mark Bennett on the phone. And with something like Boombox, showing it the way compared to the Parson box in the two different trailers is when you have a switching device which is so good it's imperceptible that you can show it on camera, that's when you show it on camera. Like I made the trailer for the both trailers for Quiver wallets, the Quiver and Quiver Plus. And because that change is invisible, whether you do it visually, which is a bit tricky to do, but you can literally do it visually with a shake or just have it open and close, you can pin a camera on that with an extreme close-up and it's going to highlight how powerful it is. When the device is so, is more of a misdirection switching device, like the Boombox thing, you need to show the power of its routines and how unnoticed it goes in a real performance. That's how you correctly sell that product, or not so much sell it, 'cause it's not about taking people's money, but that's how you correctly emphasize the power of that product.
Yeah.
So I knew that the boombox was just gonna, trump it hands down, 1,000,000%. You know, not just because your name was attached to it as well, but because they got the strategy right. They knew that the main point of this is to show people just how easily it flies in the real world.
And the other thing is, it shows how much Penguin care about the stuff that they do. And what I mean by that is, they could have just released this. You know, Andrew Niner sold them the concept. It's a box that switches one card to the other. They could have just released it just as that and just put a few simple switchy ideas with it. And look, here's how to switch one card to another card. They could have released it and people would have bought it. But the fact that they've gone to me and they've gone, hey, we want to hire you to come up with these routines. We want you to go and test it in the real world. Come up with stuff. It shows how much they care about their customers, really, because they didn't have to do that. They're trying to provide extra added value. So,
yeah. Yeah, I love it. It's a really good way of doing it. And I just love what I love seeing so much more about. I think this is why you're blowing up so much recently, is that you're doing so many real world performances with your magic releases and so much of it to go with it as well. I think it's for me, I told you this before, but like you've inspired me to perform more and just get out there and just fucking just have this just do it approach, whether it comes to like my YouTube channel or the way I create things, just sort of grab the bull by the horns. And I think that's why people are so receptive to you right now, because they see what you're doing. And it's like, well, can't fucking knock it.
Well, some people. All I can do is try my hardest.
It doesn't help that you review their friends' products and say they're shit. So,
well, they are. I can't wait. I've just got back home, and I've got a little parcel waiting for me, and I know what's going to be in there. It's the new Other Brothers thing that we talked about last week. I cannot wait to have a look at that one because it does not look good. I'm desperate to review it.
Which one is it now?
Oh, it's that one that you can tell from a mile off what's going on.
That one looked I really try not to talk shit on other people's products because I know how horrible it is when you put so much work into it. But that did look exceptionally not good.
No.
Like,
not at all.
Or you can say, well, fair play. They let you see how bad it is in the trailer because they're just honest.
Abstract Effects, honest. Hello. Summit Call. They want their, trailer back. they went away for a year and maybe they thought instead of making dishonest trailers, they'll just about shit products. Maybe they'll just be up front and just tell people it's a shit product. but who knows? I will find out.
What else has been released?
Tell me about your app, because I've been rehearsing with Rye solidly. And I know you put a video on your YouTube channel about your new app, but I didn't watch it. at all.
I fucking hate talking about my shit. Basically,
what is it? Is it the one that you have told me about? I mean, you've told me about several.
Yeah. Without boring everyone to fucking death. So, even though the last few weeks I've been saying, oh, this app coming out and it's not going to be a hype thing like Cognito and stuff, blah, blah, blah. So, in respect of keeping it all hush hush and secret until the day of launch, and then there's a pre-sale and you're buying it without knowing what it is. So for this, I thought, well, Cognito and Lux were to me special because they were sort of like brand new, like the Lux concept hadn't been done before. And Cognito was a really old principle, but like just taken in such a modern era direction, you know.
Yeah.
And I was kind of nervy about people just ripping it off. And then with this one, I didn't really have a gauge on it. Like, I didn't know if it was, to me, it was awesome because I really needed it, really wanted it, like as a really practical tool. But I thought, well, it could be, you know, I think if I had tried to just keep it close to my chest, people would have, when it came out, people would have been like, oh, this is underwhelming or something. I don't know. Anyway, so I just put two uncut performances up and then explained to everyone how it works and what it is. It's not even on sale. So I just told everyone exactly 100%, you know, did a live stream then on the Sunday after it. It was like 2 hours long where I literally just give everyone a full tutorial. And the response has been bigger than both Lux and Cognito.
Wow.
And I don't know whether that's because people just appreciate that I've just been honest about it, or not honest about it, not so much honest, but just about being so open about it. Like, they just like learning the secret ahead of time, or because they see the power of it or the practicality of it. So if anyone hasn't seen it on my channel, basically, I love any card, any number. And the one massive problem with it is that when you have a card named and an arbitrary number named, it's kind of a boring trick. And I've performed so many of them. My wife, especially on the wife test, she says famously, like, her most boring trick is the any card, any number. And that could be down to my performance style. But in essence, it definitely is, yeah, right? But in essence, you know, it's normally arbitrary card, arbitrary number. It means like nothing. So I always find that, like, to do the most engaging, fun any card, any numbers, it, you know, one or the other, it should have some sort of meaning or something to it. Anyway, so long story cut short, in 2016, I wrote a book called 52 Outs, which was a deck and stack moniker for the book. And someone could name any card. And in the book, it would teach you an out, a hands-off out for any card in the moniker. So whether you're doing face up or face down, depending on the card they name, you could either spell to the card, or if the person's name was five letters, or there'd be certain like number forces. So if you think if the card was say 27, you'd have someone think of a number between 30 and 40, add the two digits together, take them away from the original number, and that would force, you know, it's the old number nine force, you know, that would force someone to number 27, and a bunch of different methods in there. And I never published that book, but the idea was basically to give someone a deck of cards, have them name a card, and then immediately you could force them to the position and have then some good scripted meaning, as opposed to just like an arbitrary number. And then surprise, it's more of a puzzle than a trick. And then as time went on over the years, I tried to develop it on my own, like literally try to learn code on my own. But it's come to the point now where you can hand someone a deck. It isn't stacked, but you can do some false shuffles. And then you have them shuffle the deck, or air quotes shuffle the deck. I just do this by having them cut and complete it loads of times behind their back, which any magician, after any layman that's seen you do like a false riffle shuffle, I faro into stack. So I alternate it and then faro into it to begin, then say, I want you to do this behind your back. And they go, I say, oh, just do it the easy way. You just cut and complete. So you're just shuffling it without looking at it. To them, that deck is 100% shuffled, right? So I have that. They do that as they name a card. And I time them on my phone. So I'm just going to time you while you do it. And I say, as soon as the timer goes off, just stop. So they stop. They've named like the eight of hearts. So they stop shuffling, they've named the eight of hearts, and then I can say to them, so look, if this was with a different person, different time, different place, deck shuffled into a different order, this wouldn't work. If you named any other card, this would not work. But the date today is the 1st of June, 2022. 1st of the 6th, 2022. You shuffled that deck into that order, you named that card, and today is the only day in history that it would work. Deal one, for the 1st of June, deal six for the month, deal 2022. And then they laugh, as you know, just deal 202 and another two. and they turn it over, and in that shuffled deck that they've been shuffling behind their back, air quotes, their name card is exactly at today's exact date, which is a fucking miracle. The thing is that it's not always that. So sometimes it'll be that they spell the card and it's exactly there, or sometimes it's their name. Sometimes it's the exact minutes of the hour. Sometimes it's a number force. And all the app basically does is when they bring the deck out from shuffling, you input the card they've named as under the guise of stopping the timer. There's other input methods as well, but under the guise of just stopping the timer, you input the card they've named and the card on bottom. You say, make sure you haven't cut it to the bottom by accident. And they check and they show you. It just flies by. And then the phone automatically tells you the perfect out from that calibrated position. So it knows how to spell the cards in four different ways, including from top, bottom, plus one, minus one, all of this stuff. But what it does that really, unless you're Rayman, the human brain sort of can't do without doing that. You know when magicians do a glassy eyed performance, they're like, yeah, I can just totally do the mental maths, I'm fine, I'm amazing at it. But in reality, they've got like a few pre-scripted lines which they glass over as they sit, their eyes glass over as they say them, and then they don't take it. This allows you to be so clean because it takes into consideration the date, time, place, and it works out all combinations of, well, do you want to plus the day? And then if it plus, like, it works out whether you like plus the day, plus the month, or plus the year and the month, or plus the time or the minutes past the hour. But the really exciting
thing, you have profiles set up in there when you showed it.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying.
Limited profiles of different people, can't you?
Yeah, so this is the exciting part, especially for like performers at weddings, gigs and things, is that you could make a profile for who you're going to perform to. So say, and it's super easy. So like, for example, like I put like Craig, I go in there, I click on new profile, I type in Craig Arthur Petty, and I put your date of birth if I can find it off your Facebook, right? Then I can add in certain things like if I know a specific, like if I knew the time, like for example, fucking Rylan was born, or if I knew any like numerical pieces of information about like you.
The wedding client, the wedding date.
Wedding date, yeah, the anniversary, when they got engaged. You can put all that stuff in, which you can literally just ask when you're signing up. And then you can go through the wedding guest list and put the names in.
The name of your best man.
Yeah. Pet names, times, dates, and it automatically converts the times and dates into like star signs and things as well. If you tag it as a birthday. So you'd put all this in, it takes like, I don't know, 30 seconds per person in your profile list. Then when you perform, especially at a wedding, and it happens so often, these dynamic outs are generated when you input the last card that's on the bottom once the deck's been shuffled. And it's more often than not, it'll work out that like, fuck me, like the date of their engagement is exactly where the card is, or the time that they got engaged, or the time their son was born, or their full names together becomes the card position, which you just can't do. You can do on the fly, but you can't think about them all at the same time, like which one's going to be the most optimal. And then, so basically, yeah, it's just from all intents and purposes, there's other inputs which are just hands-off. One that I love for a casual performance is that as they're shuffling the deck behind their back and naming a card, they bring the deck out and you get a text and you just say, oh, I should have silenced my phone. And you just input the information as you check the text, which is more casual. But to them, the phone is never part of the effect. Obviously, how could it be part of the trick? You know, and when you're timing them, it still doesn't explain the shuffled element. You know, anyway. So, but yeah, ultimately a card, deck shuffled behind the back, they name a card and suddenly you have them do something very personal to them. And their card is that exact personal piece of information. It's like really, really, really fucking powerful. So that's called Maxim. And it's on my channel. Like there's two videos about it, just fully explained and performed. So you can sort of see how it plays. I think about the 20th of June. And the next question is price, which is about $24.95. $24.95-ish. Maybe a little bit more or less, depending on what we're going to do. Multiple languages, any stack in the world. Those are like the most four common asked questions. I thought, fuck it, there they are. I just can't go over the response. I was saying on this podcast, like the last few weeks, I've been working on an app. It's not going to blow the world away. It's just a little thing. But yeah, it's exploded. Luckily, it's exploded my channel a bit as well. So yeah, really excited. And I was like, I'm not going to talk about my app, and then fucking went on a fucking rant about it.
Sorry. I love talking about your stuff. I really do. That's really cool. I don't think there's anything new out that other than that.
I did see one which is quite cool. I think it's by, who is it by? A guy called Nemo. And is it Hansen? Chen, the thing called Lumos, where you smile with your teeth and it flashes.
I just looked at that and thought that looked complete and total shite. I don't know. I mean, I can't judge it. I haven't got it. I don't even think I'm going to buy it. I mean, it's just fucking bollocks. It's the sort of thing where it's just like, you know, it's like smile, ding. It's like the sort of thing that people are going to go, hang on, mate, there's a fucking light in your mouth or something. The problem is these days, people know that you can make electronics really small. You know what I mean? What's the fucking effect? What are they hoping to achieve by that? What are you wanting to make a light vanish and appear momentarily in your mouth? It's going to be a magical moment. Hey, I don't snap my fingers like most magicians. No, all I have to do is smile at the deck. Ding! Did you see the magic happen? Now your card's on top of the deck. That's a fucking miracle. What are we hoping to achieve by this, Lloyd? What are we hoping to? Ding! Like, or is it just for going into the club and proving to people you've got really nice shiny teeth? Like, ding! Like, why are we doing that? And how are you going to get it in there? And how is it going to stay in there? And what happens if you swallow? There's a million problems to this. It just looks shit. Now, I can't review it because I haven't got it. I don't even know if I'm going to get it because I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old, but it just looked ridiculous. Do you like it?
I don't see a place for it. I don't see how it could. The one way which potentially it would be good is if it was like unseen. So as in you turn to take a photo with somebody and so they're not looking at you and someone snaps a photo. And when they look at the photo, you've got like a glint in your teeth or something. Or you use it as in you're going to take the flash off your phone and swallow it. So you're like, here's the flash on my phone. And then you go, oh, and it flashes and then you put it back out. That would be kind of cool, I think, to do it that way. So you're not just doing it like a cheesy sort of thing. But I think like swallow the flash of your phone and then spit it back on would be pretty much more organic in a way than just sort of. But I mean, would you, as a throwaway offbeat effect at a bar or restaurant to like take the flash off somebody else's phone and then spit it back on? Would you? I would genuinely consider performing that in a way. Yeah, nothing else though.
Well, people would know that you can switch the light on the phone on and off. So it then comes back to the fact that you've got a fucking light in your mouth.
Yeah, which is
and casual great. Performances. What casual, when you're going to go for a drink? So what you're going to do? Keep your little flashy thing in your pocket and go, oh, Craig, you're a magician, aren't you? Can you show me a trick? Well, I've actually been working on something new. Just give me 1 minute. Shove that in my mouth. Watch. Give me your phone. Ding. Fucking dreams are made of there, son. I mean,
yeah, no, I mean, my problem with it is not my fucking confliction with it is that the person put it out is normally makes really good products.
Yeah.
So it's like when they do something, you're like, well, it's got to be good because they normally put out pretty good stuff. Like that's the only thing that's like making me not dismiss it entirely.
And that's, yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean? Because they got a great track record.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I do. I'm not disagreeing with you.
But also, yeah, it does look like what the fuck?
I don't know. I'm not gonna do it. Not in a million years. The only way I could see it working is BGT. Somebody wants to do an audition on BGT. Let me do a Simon Cowell impression. Ding! Like something like that. You know what I mean? Something like that. I don't
know. I did see Bottled 2.0 by Taiwan Ben.
Oh, okay.
Which is a bottle cap in bottle. Literally you just like have a Coca-Cola bottle. Here's the link to it if you want to watch it whilst we're on you, Craigie.
I do like Taiwan Ben. I like a lot of his stuff.
Yeah.
The last thing I reviewed of his, Ryland's been doing all of the time, which is the three balancing bottle caps, which looked really good. Let's just have a look here.
So skip to around 45 seconds in.
Okay, let's have a look. So we've got a bottle.
They sign it as well, which is
all the label off it to make it so that there's no way you... That's good. I like that. And yeah, they've signed it. Let's have a look at what's happening here. One, they're holding the bottle cap. They're holding the bottle. They've took the label off the bottle and they've signed the bottle cap. Oh my God, how did that get in there? That looks good.
Yeah. I think it's a folding bottle cap, really, right? It's like, I don't think anyone's going to...
I don't know. I don't know. Is it?
I don't know. It looks... Because you put it through the neck of the bottle. It'll put, like, you know, quite openly put it through the neck of the bottle.
That's quite good. I really like that. Good price.
Bottle and cap can and should be borrowed.
No magnets, no PK rings, no cuts. I like that.
100% inspected before and after.
Wow. It's got some great quotes. Justin Flom, love the method. Wouldn't be surprised to see this in my next Coke commercial. Although with Justin Flom, when he talks about Coke, you don't know what he's talking about, to be perfectly honest. It could be one or two ways there. Patrick, there are many versions of cap and bottle, none as good as practical as this version, until Patrick Kuhn brings out his own version. Definitely the most practical cap and bottle to date, Hanson Chen, again, until he brings his own version out. Patrick Wolford, absolutely the best.
Speaking of Patrick's, though, have you seen Patrick Kuhn's new wallet switching device?
Yes,
it's fucking awesome.
Is it?
Yeah. Do you know what I'm on about?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I ordered it the other week.
Well, I think it's awesome. I haven't got one, but it looks pretty fucking good.
It looks fucking amazing, doesn't it? Yeah.
For anyone that can't see, have a look on his like social media. He's posted it a few times, but you have a magnetic case, magnetic wallet on the back of the iPhone, and you can use it for Android too. But there's a clear window on it with a folded card in there.
Oh, that's killer.
And as you pull the folded card out, it switches for a Mercury folded card. But
looks really
very
good.
Very clean, very, very decent.
Text message I just had. You're responsible for that. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah, I know. I forgot to text him back for you on Monday, so I texted him late last night. No, not late last night, before the thing last night.
That's cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. Ooh, look at you with high-flying friends. Ooh.
Well, you're
ooh,
my
magic friends. Ooh, you're fucking my friends.
Friend. Are you kidding? Both you and I are currently ghosting Paul Harris.
Shut the fuck up. You can't put that in the podcast.
Yes, we can. What happens on the podcast stays on the podcast. At least I've got an excuse. I've been guiding my son through the BGT experience and I've been a bit busy. What's your
I've had COVID. Not well.
But does COVID affect your thumb?
Fuck off.
Did you fucking manage to text me enough times?
Fuck off. Well, I'm busy, ain't I?
Your sleepy little village.
Yeah, fucking up to my eyeballs, man.
Surrounded by sheep.
You can't.
Dear me, that's funny. Don't worry, I'll message him tonight. Now that BGT's all over,
It's you. It's all on you. I'm just at your disposal.
That's what she said. Anyway,
I can talk a lot louder now, by the way, because my son's woken up my wife said I had to wake him up from his nap. He slept for 3 hours.
That's what we like. You know, that's
what I want.
That's what, I will tell you one thing. I will tell you one thing, going back to BGT, really funny. So we did, I mean, the Magic Circle kids and Ryland. Ryland, I've got to tell you this because this is fucking hilarious. So Ryland comes alive on a stage. What he doesn't like doing is dress rehearsals. He doesn't, when he performs in front of a stage, on a stage in front of a real audience, he just comes alive. When he's doing rehearsals, a lot of the time, it's all, he'll do it, but it's almost like he's going through the motions. Do you know what I mean? And it's what he doesn't do that he always does in front of a live audience is smile. But a lot of the Magic Circle kids were taking their kind of thing from him. And when we did the final rehearsal before the night, Russ did a debrief with all of them. And he was like, you got to look like you're having an amazing time on there. You're all looking like you're concentrating and you're not really looking like you're having an amazing time. You got to remember to smile. And so they all went back to the trailer and he's like, remember to smile. And then he rang me half an hour later and he's like, Craig, I was like, yeah. He's like, I've got an idea of how to make these kids smile. I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? He's like, we need to get them all hyped up. It's been a really long day. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. what do you want me to do? He's like, go to Tesco and buy 30 bags of Haribo.
Yes.
The
fuck
biggest
yeah.
bags that you can find, the big, massive bags. And so, and give each one of them a bag and tell them to eat it all 20 minutes before the show. I'm like, all right.
Oh, my God.
So I go off to Tesco and I just literally get all of the bags of Haribo. And there's the chaperone.
Are you basically the Bill Cosby of the Magic Circle?
Pretty much.
The Young Magic Circle.
So I go over to all the circle kids and I'm running. And I'm like, hey, we want to make sure that you're happy. We want to make sure, remember, it's all about an experience. We want to make sure, are you guys having a good time? Yeah. And we were all having a blast. We were showing each other card tricks. It was so fun. I'm like, but you need to show it on stage. So we've got an idea. I just started giving out bags of Haribo and they're all like, yeah, they're all super excited. While all the other acts were like pacing up and down, getting ready, just because we're all there together. And all the other acts are just like, you know, the singers are la 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 la. And the dancers are all doing their kicks and the dogs are running around and doing whatever the dogs do. There's fucking 30
shitting on the stage
circle, just eating Haribo, shoveling it into their mouths.
Here's a question. What the fuck are you going to do with all like the dress codes and stuff?
We let the kids keep them.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's great.
Let the kids keep them and we let them keep the hoodies and everything. So they've all got
did those guys all enjoy it? All the, you know, what an experience for them as well.
They had an absolute blast. They had such a, I've had wonderful, wonderful, wonderful messages. Like wonderful messages. I'm probably not going to be able to find any of them now. Let's have a look. Wonderful messages. Yeah, like okay, so here's just one, for example. But I've had one from almost every parent from every kid that was on the show. Dear Craig, many congratulations to Ryland for his great performance yesterday. I know he's going to be disappointed, but he performed brilliantly and should be extremely proud of himself. Ryland demonstrated an incredible ability to command the stage and showed once again amazing composure, particularly given technical difficulties that I understand happened. Yeah, and then some. To have gone out and performed like that in front of millions as a nine-year-old is extraordinary and enormous credit. Can I also thank you for involving the YMC? I know that every single child in the YMC has loved every minute of it, and getting to know you and Ryland has been an amazing opportunity. She didn't want it to be over and was really looking forward to the final. It will be an inspiration to her as she develops her own magic act and personality. You know, and I've had messages like that
wow.
from the parents. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, yes. And like you said, people signing up for the Young Magic Circle, people wanting magic sets for Christmas. So sick. So good.
It's what it's all about. What it's all about. Mm-hmm. It's what it's all about.
Also about that 250 grand as well, but fuck it, you can't have it all.
Yeah. Little shit needs to work harder next time.
Can you imagine this goes in the Daily Mail? Ryland's father says little shit needs to work harder next time.
You know, we're just going to sound bite this out and put it somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, dear me. Dear, dear me. It was, nah, it was so fun. It was so fun.
So we did products. I don't think we've had any questions this week. If we have, we haven't fucking listened to them, read them.
No, we got the sorry not sorry thing that we do, don't we?
Yes. Do you have any opinions? I can go back into that archive and have a look if I've got any in there. Whilst you think of one to offend everyone with,
here's one that's really winding me up recently, and it kind of stems from something that you said earlier on about me, which is, hey, you spend so much time putting live performance videos together for your. For your product releases. Yeah. And one thing that I see so many tricks, I review so many tricks. I review so many products. And one thing that both me and Ryland get wound up by is when there's no live performances on the projects. And yeah. That will instantly lower the mark for me, like every single time. And it's a real bone of contention. If you believe that your product is strong enough that you feel that you can release it to the general magic community and charge for it, there should be live performances on there.
Yes.
Now, yes, I know not everyone's a performer. But that's when you then go to somebody who is a performer. Now, I'll use you
like as me, example. Like me. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, look at Cognito. There were performances on there from
Javier. I didn't even put myself in the fucking trailer.
Nope. Javier. It's all about Javier. Look at Lux. Same thing. I mean, they had a bit of you at the beginning because you were doing it to Jordan, but generally it's Javier, you know, and
yeah,
you know, you might go, oh yeah, well, you're lucky because you're in Murphy's and Javier and blah, 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 blah. But you
never used to be.
Yeah. If you're a magician, you're going to have a friend that's a magician that's a performer.
Mm-hmm.
You go, or, you know, something. These days with camera phones, it is so easy to go and get footage of you doing your trick in a live performance environment. I think it's inexcusable that any product comes out these days without some sort of live performance. It doesn't have to be you. Like, I've discovered that different companies do it in different ways. Like, you know, like Penguin, they send me out to a bar, you know, a lot of the time, and I'll get the performance at the bar. You, and when I do stuff with Murphy's, we typically will go somewhere like Smoke and Mirrors. You know, 1914, they will actually have like a studio that they've hired and they'll bring an audience in. So if you look at Visible and you look at Forecast, you'll see that I'm actually in the same studio I'm doing the explanations in, but they've brought two or three or four people in to actually be an audience in like a very informal close-up sort of type environment. You look at Alakazam. Alakazam is a perfect example because when I was doing Alakazam products, you'll have noticed the performances are done in the shop to people that are in the shop. And I said to Pete, I'd rather have real life performances. So the next two things that I've got coming out for Alakazam, we went to Houdini's Magic Bar, mm-hmm. and we got full live performances from Houdini's. I just don't think that it's acceptable to put a product out. I see so many tricks where it's got a 10-minute tutorial and it's not even got a performance. It's a, hey, this is the gimmick. This is how it works. This is how you use it. And what pisses me off even more, and I'll use Triple Helix as an example, and I know I ragged on that, and I felt bad about it because I know the creator was quite nice to me over something.
John Bing is actually one of the best people in magic.
Here's what I didn't like about it. There was no live performance footage on the project. It was just a studio thing of this is how you set up the gimmick, this is how you use it, this is what you do, this is how it works. That's it. There was no live performance footage, but you look at the trailer and there was footage of him doing it out and about in various different places, like clips of like moments of stuff, but they didn't take it. So that's even worse for me because they obviously went somewhere to get performances or to get footage of it being done where there's crowds, which makes you think there's going to be a performance on the thing. And then there's no performance. At all. There's no nothing. There's nothing at all. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. And I think it instantly...
Do you think with Triple Helix, if they had said, this is a social media magic trick, you would have been fine with no performances?
Yeah, but they didn't. And not only did they not, if you actually look at... hang on. Quickly punch up the Triple Helix trailer. Can you get it? Now, I'm going back. This is about a year.
Triple Helix.
Yeah, I'm going back now because this is about a year. I've found it here. It's at Blackpool.
Okay, the trick from Blackpool 2020.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, I'm watching it now. I mean, the ironic thing is, in fairness, it has been used on live TV a number of times.
Yeah, but if you look, the point of it is, hang on, let me just turn this down because I'm looking at it as well. The point of it is, every time it's like Patrick Kuhn did it on live TV. I totally get that. I totally get that 100%. Yeah. However, that's in a very controlled environment. This is a very angly product. It is a product that requires a lot of audience management and awareness of angles. Because if you don't know how you're using it, it's not going to look very good. And the angle, that was never addressed on the tutorial. But
I was going to say, do they teach you the audience management side
of it? No, they don't. They don't teach you anything like that on the project, which was another problem of mine. But look at the performances. He may be doing it. He's doing it in a restaurant. He's doing it there at a coffee table. Now, it may be empty, but now look at him. He's doing it here, out in the real world. He's surrounded by people. He's got a jukebox behind him. Look at this. He's got people walking around, and he's doing it in the middle. Now, I'm telling you right now, what he's doing right there wouldn't work, knowing the trick. he's going to flash the hell out of this with people behind him and everything.
Yeah,
there's performance footage in the real world. That's the entire trailer. The entire trailer is made up of real life performance footage, but none of it appears as an actual performance. There's no live performances on the project.
I think, you know, there should be something that sort of gives you a warning or a heads up, maybe. Do you know what I mean?
If they said on the ad copy, hey, this is a social media trick, or this is a trick that you can perform in the real world, but you are going to have to be hyper aware of your angles, then that would have been a different situation. But you've got videos of him there doing it completely surrounded. Not performing it to a person, but there's people walking past him and he's just doing it to camera. It implies that you can do it in that sort of environment, and you can't.
I've had some funny experiences with that. I put out, like, some tricks I put out where I was confident to do that. I'm confident performing in real life, and got hate that they were not practical for real life, even though I fucking do them. And then I put out other things which I expressly said this is just for social media, and then had people come back and say to me that I was that they perform it all the time, and I didn't know what the fuck I was on about. I must not be very good and shit. Like, I'm trying to think. One of them was Acme Hall. Like, I didn't put any live performances in the Acme Hall trailer, and then people do it all the time. And then the other thing was this free giveaway called Osiris, which is a tic-tac through box trick, which is, I think, strictly for social media. And then it's like the most common thing I get tagged in, and people always saying that they do it in real life, which, I don't know, it's just the juxtapose of, you know, you can never predict the feedback you're going to get. Whatever you think is going to be one way, it always goes the other.
It's down to the creator. You know, if you don't think that something works in the real world, then fair enough, that's your project. If somebody agrees, that's cool. My issue is, and my big issue is, why is it not, why are there not being performance videos? Why are performance videos not being included in the project?
It's either because they don't believe in it, or their shit performance. Like, for me, with all my things, like Cypher, Tempest, Lux, Cognito, I know I'm not a very good performer. I can fumble my way through a performance and stuff and things, but I'm not a good performer, but it doesn't mean the stuff's not practical. So I invested in having people go out there and perform it to show the power of it, because I knew that it's a worker, as opposed to having something where I think, oh, you know what, this isn't good. So let's, like, you know, I know some people fake reactions in trailers. You know, some people will perform the ambitious card, they'll record the reactions to that, and then they'll show a different trick.
I remember when you first told me that that's something that happens, and that really shocked me.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's just blatant lies. That's just blatant lies. Like, I mean, I remember when I bought out Chop and people were saying, oh, Craig got fake reaction, that it's a stooge in the thing. No, I just walked into a bar and I walked up to any person and just started shooting the thing. And that's the reactions I got. And you know, because you've been on a shoot with me. Like, I wouldn't ever.
You're the easiest artist I think I've ever worked with for live performances. You and Kieran Johnson. Kieran's fucking great at live performances as well. But both of you the same. You're solid workers. Walk up to any fucking table, knock them dead, get the footage in the can, get the fuck out of there. Easy.
And if I had a trick,
no need to fake it.
If I had a trick where I felt I had to turn around to you and go, I'm gonna have to fake this one, Lloyd, because I don't think this is gonna get a really good reaction, I wouldn't be putting it out.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't be putting it out.
So I'm trying to think if it's ever acceptable. I've never used technique it myself. I'm just trying to think if there's ever a time where it would be acceptable, but it's hard to argue it. The only time I could ever imagine it being acceptable is if you've got a good trick which you've performed 1,000 times, and then the day that you go to shoot is just no one is mentally turning up. But even then, I would just probably shoot it on a different day.
Well, I'll tell you something. When I went over to, do you remember I went to Penguin?
Yeah.
And I was there for the Thursday and the Friday. Then on the Saturday, I was flying over to Magic Live, and then that started on the Sunday.
Yeah.
So I had to film 8 projects in 2 days. All full performances, pitches, explanations, everything. So I was in the P3 theater from like 9 o'clock in the morning. We were doing all of the explanations and the pitches and the B-roll. And then in the evening, we're going and getting footage. And it's a student town, Columbus.
That's cool.
And the bar, they've got like one of 3 bars that they rotate around. And Thursday nights are just dead. So we went in there, and there was just like nobody there. So we went and grabbed a beer and we sat down at a table. And I was there with Dalton Wayne and Nick Popa. And there was literally nobody in this bar. And Dalton and Nick were like, oh, we're going to have to get this footage. We've got to get this footage. And this one group came in, just this one group of like two people. And they were like, oh, I don't think they're going to be any good. I was like, let's just shoot to them. And I just shot, like, I did like a 15 minute set to them and they were losing their mind. And they actually said to me, they said, well, you know, it's very rare to go into a bar where there's literally nobody there and there's no environment and there's no atmosphere and to be able to get that sort of performance. But
yeah, you
know, if you're a professional musician, that's what you've got to do. That's what you get paid to do, to go there and get a good performance footage. And that's what I mean. If you're a professional magician and you're releasing a product, I want to see the performance. And if you're not a professional magician and you don't like performing,
do what I do. Just get people that you know
have
got the credentials to help you out.
Yeah, that's my attitude.
It's a really good, because it is kind of controversial in a way, because I bet there is people that are out there that think that will give us an exception or two to the rule where, you know, well, you say that, but this product doesn't need a fucking live performance. You know, for example,
every product needs a live performance. There's not one product, in my opinion.
Does Pyro need a live performance?
Pyro? What's Pyro?
By Adam Wilbur.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. Oh, fuck. Yeah, I think it does.
What effect would you do with it?
I don't know, because it's not a trick. I don't actually own it, but I don't even own it. It's not something that appealed to me. I didn't want to shoot flames. I know it was incredibly popular, but I never actually owned one. But I bet you there's stuff you could do with it. There's lots of routes. I don't know what was on the
I think I'm using it as TED Talks. I'm just trying to think. You know, whenever you like make a stern point, there's always someone that goes, well, what about this?
I can think of one thing that didn't need a tutorial, didn't need a live performance.
It's a tutorial, yeah. I know a bunch of tricks that you've done honest trailers for. No tutorial needed. The explanation is the fucking trailer.
Fucking Adam's fidget spinner thing that he brought out for Illusionist.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Although,
yeah, because you can't, it's not a performance piece.
Yeah, it's not. Rylan fucking loves that thing. He's got like four of them and he's constantly fiddling with it. Like, I looked at it, I was like, what the fuck is this? So I'm going to put this in the bin. And then Rylan was like, no. And he bought another three and he's got literally, he's just fiddling with these things 24/7, which kind of shows you never know whether something's. Do you know what I mean? You just never
know. One man's trash can be another man's gold. So that was, I think that was a good controversial opinion. It's got me thinking. It's definitely got me thinking. I'm trying to think of examples where it wouldn't be necessary. I also seen there was a new smoke watch on the market by Henry, was it?
Not Henry Arias. I'm done with smoke. I'm just completely done with it in a close-up environment. I'm just done with the whole thing. Like, you know,
I would love a good smoke device. I think there's a place for one. It's just none of them seem to be right. Do you know what I mean? Like, hey, here, wear this bowling ball size watch.
I got burned with the first smoke watch by Miranda. And when I say burned, I meant literally and figuratively. My wrist almost got fucking blistered. Nemed Phoenix almost had it. That, like, when he first bought the first smoke watch from Miranda, it was like, It melted onto his skin. Like, it put him off Miranda for life. Like, now I know the second one that came out, but it's just like, really, is the smoke really going to add that much?
Here's what I've seen popping up is that Lynx, is it called Lynx or Legacy Wallet, whatever the thing was from Yao Miranda at Blackpool? Did you ever get yours? Did you ever buy yours in the end?
Nope. Nope. At Magic Live, I went over to his stand and I went to look at them. And he demonstrated it to me, and it's clever in many ways, but I think it could be improved. First of all, it's a bit of a chunky motherfucker.
It's a little chunky monkey.
It's a bit of a fat wallet, as much as David Penn puts videos out going, look how slimline my fucking wallet is. No, it's fucking not. It's fucking big.
It's the Big now, Mac.
You might be able to get away with it. You probably can. People have bought it, and I know they're doing well with it, so you can get away with it. And obviously, he's got his addition, which is like he has it in his pocket, and and then it goes into a smaller wallet, which flaps over the wallet, over the pocket. So it prints and goes into the smaller one, and you bring the smaller wallet out. But then that's not on the table from the beginning. So if you're going to have, if you think that like, oh, this is a bit too thick, I'm going to use this add-on to have it go into a smaller wallet. Well, hang on. The beauty of this, in my opinion, is you put your wallet on the table and then you just open up your wallet and the prediction's in there. If you're having to put it in your pocket, I can now come up with a million things like thumb writers and palms. There's a million different ways of achieving the same thing without actually needing to go down the route of this. And then the big issue for me is the input method. It's like you've got to give them your phone and type what the word is into your notes page. Why are we doing this again? Yeah. Why? What's the purpose?
It's almost like we're having a trick where the secret is magnets and then the subject of discussion is magnets. You know what I mean? Like the secret is technology, and then a big part of the trick is using technology. It doesn't take a leap to connect dots.
No.
That, you know.
And it's like you said with Maxim, you do it correctly, they're not even going to think that there's phone in play.
It's not
a trick that no one's going to think app, because they don't even think that there's a phone plays any part of it, right? Whilst with this, the phone plays a big part of it because you're getting them to put the word into your notes page for no reason whatsoever. Now, could I, if I had one, come up with probably some nice ideas with it? Yes. Could I, if I owned one, come up with a way of justifying putting it into the notes page? Probably yes. Do I think it's clever? Yes. Am I going to sink £2,000 on it? No. I'm not. Because I can come up with about 10 different ways of achieving the same thing without needing the wallet.
I think I fucking wrote down a whole thing, but the way, because the effect is your wallet is in your pocket, isn't it? They name anything and it's written down on a piece of paper in your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
But because you have to introduce the phone or use the RFID chip method, which he shows in the trailer, it means there's other props in place. So if you were to try to recreate it in a more practical manner, under the same conditions of using other objects within the routine, then you may as well just do something like anything by Ben Williams, or like you said, like a nail writer, to get the word written on to a business card covertly, and then just load it into any wallet.
Yeah.
Now you don't need a printer. Now your wallet's clean.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's no technology, no batteries, no refills. Kind of like crazy practical. And to the audience, same effect.
Yeah.
Identical to them.
Yeah.
Just, you know, so that I think we spoke about this maybe off air at the time, because it was too close to the product launch, I think, to really go in on it. But yeah, I mean, I'd like it to be proven wrong. I'd like to see the reason why it trumps. Oh, yeah. Fuck. I think it's an amazing leap forward. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's an amazing leap forward. It just isn't there. But then, you know, like you said, people go out and gig it and praise it. So who the fuck are we? But
I just think that in order for it to be viable, it needs to be smaller. There needs to be a different input method. It needs to be priced more reasonably. Because here's a challenge, you and I.
Okay.
Here's a challenge. I'm going to lay down a challenge for you.
Okay. I'm not a performer, don't forget. But.
Okay. Here's your challenge. You've got to create a method that achieves the same thing as the legacy wallet, but without using the legacy wallet. But just like with the legacy wallet, you can use other things as well.
Okay.
So, you know, like he uses a phone for the input method and, you know, whatever. So you can use other objects. I'm going to try and come up with the same thing as well. And then we'll do it. We'll show both of our methods on one of your Sunday sessions, and we'll let people vote as to which one's best.
Love it. Fucking down for that. 100%.
Yeah.
So just to clarify the effect then, you're in your wallet is a prediction.
But the way that the beauty of this, in my opinion, is the wallet's down on the table. So there's a
wallet down on the table. Okay.
As somebody think of a word, which they write down, in this case on a phone, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, after some time misdirection while it prints, they open up the incredibly large wallet, take out the card, and on there is the word that they wrote down. That's the effect.
Okay. Super clean prediction. All right. Yeah, that's fucking easy to do.
Yeah.
The thing is now, we've already said Nail Writer and Anything by Ben Williams. So
both of those are off the table.
Both of those are off the table because they're the ones we would have gone for. So both of those methods are off the table. This is great.
Yeah.
I have a really cool idea already.
I haven't. I will have. You come up with fucking ideas. I have to sit down and think about them. I'm older than you. My brain works slower.
You have like 50 different routines on every project and I just get myself a Craig.
But what I'm good at is somebody giving me a product and saying, come up with routines for this. What you're good at is coming up with a brand, like you'll probably come up with some fucking weird ass gimmick that just does everything for you. That's your way of thinking. And I can't even imagine how you even do that. That just baffles the brain. But I think we'll probably have two very different approaches to this.
I think so too. Because I have a method in my mind already. Okay, I'm not going to say any more because I might get excited and tip it.
Yeah, don't. Stop. That's the challenge. We'll do it on one of the Sunday sessions. We'll let people know next Wednesday on the podcast which Sunday session we're doing it on.
Cool. Perfect. We'll do it on the following Sunday session.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yay.
Craig versus Lloyd. as a side note, I asked Jack in my office to just post on the Magic Podcast official discussion group that there was still going to be a podcast today, but it might be up a little bit late because of blah, 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 blah. So have a look at this.
Oh, fuck me. There was a photo of a bastard sheep. Let me have a look.
Oh, look at this. Good afternoon. All important announcement. The podcast is still coming tonight as planned. Once we have the official title, we'll surely let you know. In the meantime, here's a very mean looking sheep looking to exact revenge on Lloyd. That sheep looked pissed.
Why was it my fault?
Oh dear, it was funny.
Sorry, I just got distracted watching a video by. Isn't Danny Goldsmith just the best coin magician of all time?
Yes, and he's just got his projects back from Illusionist. Did you hear about that?
I did. Do you know? There's a good story about this. It was me that discovered Danny, not discovered him. Obviously, that's such a fucking arrogant thing to say. I contacted Danny and said, I think you're the next big thing in magic. When I was working at Illusions, will you please do a project with us? And he said he'd do three projects with Illusionist then. And I swayed it so that we could fly him anywhere in the world. So I knew that he wanted to go to Nepal. So like as a sort of sweetener for him. And I was going to fly over with him because I want to also go to Nepal too. So got him all set up and flights booked for the pair of us and things. And he flew out, I think a week before me. And I flew out, got to Glasgow airport. So hyped to go. I got fucking turned around and sent back to Wales. My passport didn't have more than 6 months on it. And the lady at the airport said that when I got to Dubai, they wouldn't grant me access to the country because it only had like 4 or 5 months on my passport. So in the end, Dwayne had to go and emergency like fly out the next day to shoot it in Nepal. Oh, well, Danny, I know. And then I got all the footage and ended up editing all the projects together, which was amazing because I got to see how good he was like up close and personal.
Oh, he's amazing, isn't he?
The only reason I can say he's so good is because he's just he's in a league of his own. He does his very own different thing. Can I tell you the story about when he was showing me some of the routines of his project called, what's it called? Like Broken Fingers or Finger something. It's like Broken Knuckles Project or something. And he starts doing this Miser's Dream. Puts a cup on the table and then starts producing like a silver coin, copper coin, Chinese coin, Filipino coin, dun, 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 back and forth. And he just, all these coins, like literally like 20 coins, bang, bang, bang. And I was like, fuck me. Like she completely like sat there. He's doing it all live, never drops a coin when he performs, like absolute beast with it. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, you know, what are they going to need to do this? Like, what are we gonna have to supply them with? Like this is going to get costly, you know, flippers, expanded shells, and all this stuff. Because it really is one of the most impressive Miser's Dreams I've ever seen. And it's a close-up version. And it turned out the mad cunt only uses sleight of hand. Pure sleight of hand. no shells, no. And he'd been showing me routines for like a solid hour on Skype as well beforehand. And they all were just pure sleight of hand. I actually didn't know. And it was one of those defining moments where I was like, oh, fuck, there is fucking levels to this. And if ever I thought I was at a decent stage, like,
yeah. Nope. Well, Nemid Phoenix refers to him as Coin Jesus, and he really is. He's just...
That's a great name. He looks like Coin Jesus. He does look like Coin Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Coin Jesus. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no, sorry. So I zoned out when I was looking through Facebook then. But he's got, yeah, that's the thing. He's got all his projects back from Illusionist. So now you can get them. Should we shout out his website? I think to support him, because he is an independent artist, which I love. So now you can buy those projects, which I set that project up. I commissioned it all. I unfortunately couldn't film it, but I also edited it together. So I love seeing the fact that he's now got the full 100% rights to it himself. It's DannyGoldsmithMagic.com.
DannyGoldsmithMagic.com.
And the project's called Silversmith.
Go onto his website, you can learn a whole bunch of stuff for free.
Yeah. He's so, have you seen the opening effect of that Silversmith DVD, a Silversmith project called Crazy Man's Coin Cuffs?
Oh, yes. I really need to do a review show special on him, don't I?
Oh my God, please do a review show special on him.
Have you watched the interview I did with him?
Maybe. Was it ages and ages and ages ago?
It was about a year ago.
I think so.
You need to watch the interview if you haven't, because it's incredible. He just blows me away over and over and over and over again. He just makes my eyes bleed. And I know a thing or two about coin magic.
Well, this is the thing. You are a master coin magician.
Oh, no. When I'm around him, I feel like just a rank amateur.
Well, I think it's just two very different styles you have. So it's hard to compare you both, really. But he's just had this like really beautiful organic way of doing stuff. And you
put it this way. If I was at a magic convention with Danny Goldsmith and somebody went, let's set up a coin competition between Danny and Craig, I'd be like, fuck that shit. No.
He can fuck my wife and tuck her, and I'll tuck him into bed afterwards.
I'll be in the bar getting drunk. Let him do his fucking thing. This is a guy that like palms 40 coins and just, yeah, I'll stay over there with my flipper. Okay, that's where I'll be. I'll be over there with my.
If someone asked me to get into a coin competition with you and Danny Goldsmith, I'd be picking up my fucking elastic thread and making a card gaff. Anybody want to see a visual trick?
Yeah.
How have we got to the end of the show? And again, we've ended up talking about fucking wives.
It always happens.
Happens every time.
Every single time. I don't know what it is. It's so weird that the podcast just gets it starts dirty, kind of goes into like content that people find really useful, and then gets all fucked up at the end again. I don't know what it is.
I think it's because as the sun starts to set, we're like gremlins. What the fuck? I don't know. All right. Well, I think that was a good episode. I think that was a fun one. It was great to catch up with you after that crazy week, because although we've had phone calls and texts and stuff, you've been super busy.
It's been mad. Now we're back to it. We've got a lot of stuff that we're working on. I will tell people I am aware of what's coming up. And if you are a fan of magic, you want to check out Thursday and Friday's BGT. Today we've got obviously the magician that got the golden buzzer, who I thought was great. However, Thursday and Friday. And if you're a fan of illusion acts, check out Friday. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh, shit. I want to know all the spoilers now. After this, you get no more spoilers probably. Next year, we don't need you anymore. Next year, I'll just host it on my own.
Yeah, you just host it on your. Ryan will probably take over by then with Lloyd and Ryan, I'm sure.
Although he could just take over on his own.
Yeah. Fuck it.
He doesn't need us anymore. He's too big for us.
Too big. Too famous. We will be back again next Wednesday, right here. Same bat time, same bat channel. Make sure that you subscribe to the Magic Podcast on your favorite magic podcasting platform, whatever that may be, and join the official discussion group. And please, 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 if you're listening to this, send us some questions. And we want audio files. We want audio recordings. Just hit record, send it over as a message to me or Lloyd, either by email or by Facebook Messenger or on Instagram, however you want to get in touch with us. And we will play it. And anything that you say will be played because we never fucking vet them first. We just play them because we can.
That's true. That's actually true. We genuinely don't fucking listen to them. So what? This feels like we're inviting in trouble now.
Yeah, I don't care. Let's just do it. It's the podcast. So yeah. whatever you send us, it's going to be on the podcast. So, you know, whatever you want to say, send it over and we will play it next Wednesday. But thank you very much for joining us on the Magic Podcast. I'm Craig.
I'm Lloyd.
We'll see you again next week.
Goodbye.
Lloyd fuck sheep. I just had to throw that in
there. Oh, you fucking... Your son's a loser. I think I found my sheep joke.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.